Any agreement on climate change is bound to include incentives for renewable energy, massive investments for solar, wind, or geothermal power. But not all renewable energy projects are large. Some are small, and some are tiny. Here's one. It comes from the African nation of Malawi, from a then 14-year-old farmer named William Kamkwamba. His future seemed to lie in simply tending his family's crops. That's pretty common for young people in Malawi. But unlike other kids, Kamkwamba ended up building a windmill. I mean, an actual windmill. It became a source of reliable electricity for his village. Now, that windmill didn't come out of nowhere. There were other eureka moments along the way, including this one. William Kamkwamba told me about the time he and his cousin hooked up a radio to a bicycle dynamo, the thing that turns pedal power into electric power.
One day we connected the wires from the bicycle dynamos to the radio, and when I started paddling, and then the radio started playing, and then my cousin suddenly started dancing from the music that was played through the power from the dynamo. And then I asked him to stop dancing so that I can also dance too. He can come and paddling, and then he refused. So from that time, I was like thinking, what exactly can I use to paddle my bike so that I can be dancing, enjoying the music? Yeah, what exactly can I do to create electricity?
William Kamkwamba set out to answer his own question. How could he generate electricity without having to pedal a bicycle all the time? He found his answer in books and diagrams. Kamkwamba lashed together discarded materials lying around his village. He built his windmill, tower, blades, and everything.
When the blades started spinning, and then the light came on, and I was very happy. There was a lot of people were watching me when I was doing that. So I was very happy because lots of people were laughing at me. They thought that I'm going crazy.
So when that light bulb came on, that was your comeback.
Since I started working on the project, people were just saying that you are going crazy. It was strange for them. They don't know what windmill was. So when I was explaining to them, I want to build a windmill to generate electricity, and they don't know what windmill was. And at the same time, I was going at the junkyard to collect my materials to build the windmill. So they were like, how a normal person can be collecting the garbages and saying that he's building something to generate electricity that we don't know? That's why they are saying that.
Now, we should say that before this wonderful project started, you had been in school, you were unable, your family was unable to pay the $80 tuition, so you had to drop out. At some point, you decided to go to the public library and look at books on energy and electricity, and I'd like to know what drove you to the library in the first place.
So mostly at the library, I was interested in reading science books, physics, and even though that time I couldn't read English that well, most of the time I was using the diagrams and seeing the picture around them, and then I found the other book which had the pictures of the windmill. So it's then when I open inside the book, they say windmill could pump water and generate electricity. So pump water for me meant irrigation.
Irrigation.
Irrigation for a second crop. I say, if I can build this one, then all this problem we are facing, it can be solved by building this machine.
And give us a sense of how you've done that. I mean, because you started off with this single windmill powering a single light bulb. How many windmills are now in Masitala, and what are they actually providing for the village?
Right now, there are three windmills. Two are used to generate electricity, and one is used to pump water for my mom's garden. And then she used that garden to grow vegetables, and some of them she sell at the market, and some of them we eat. A lot of people from my area, they come with their mobile cell phones, and they charge it from there. So they kind of like benefiting through the windmill.
Now, William, you're now living in Johannesburg. You're not in Malawi anymore. You're in Johannesburg, South Africa, at the African Leadership Academy. That's a pretty prestigious place. What's next for you? What's your next big plan?
My next big plan is to apply to college. When I go to college, and then after I finish my college, then I'll go back to my country. I want to see how I can help in terms of bringing low-cost renewable energy to rural areas in my country, and also how I can help in terms of bringing clean water to people.
One thing that's really curious is that, you know, you come from a village where these problems, everybody knows what they are. But I think a lot of people all over the world, not just in Africa, but a lot of people just wait for politicians to locate funding and material to bring changes to the problems of a village like Masitala. Why do you think you've taken a path so different from others in your village?
For me, what I believe that sometimes it's not good to wait for someone to come because you can wait forever. So the problem that we are facing, for me, I saw that if I have an idea that I can use to solve this problem, I don't need to wait for somebody to do it because I can do it.
William, a few years ago, you had to drop out of school in a little village in Malawi, a place most Americans have probably never heard of. Now you're kind of a celebrity. How does that feel?
For me, I feel good, but for me, I don't take myself as a celebrity because most of the time when I go back home, I do everything what I do before with my friends. We do everything. So, yeah.
Just another day in the life of William Kamkwamba, huh?
Yeah.
Well, William, very nice to speak with you.
Nice to talk to you, too.
William Kamkwamba is the author, along with Brian Mueller, of The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind, Creating Currents of Electricity and Hope. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.